Well, welcome to A New Lens with Common Good Capital, where we talk with investors, RIAs, fund managers, and philanthropists about their experiences within different impact investing themes, as well as explore the power of stewardship and capital. I'm your host, Jeff Schaefer, CEO of Common Good Capital. I'm here with Emily Green. She is Director of Private Wealth at Elevest, the first investing and financial planning firm designed by, for, and with women. Emily actively works with clients, helping them integrate impact investing into their financial plan. Emily, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I've been very much looking forward to this conversation, not only to obviously hear your story more, but you come from such a unique perspective that you are practicing this with clients on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I'm very excited to have this conversation.
All right, so what we'll do is we'll follow a series of questions and we'll just have a dialogue. So let's start off. Give us a little background of yourself so we can understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. So I grew up in Chicago. I am one of those rare people who actually grew up in the city. I went to the University of Wisconsin, Madison. Then I actually graduated from college in the financial crisis. So a very fun time. And it was kind of like I wanted to work in finance. Not a good time to think about working in finance. Like every firm was on freeze. You know, everyone was being laid off. I actually ended up going to London for a year and I worked for a brokerage firm out there, came back, moved to New York and started at JP Morgan. And so I worked in commercial banking first and then moved over. I was very lucky in the commercial bank that even when I was a young analyst, I had the opportunity to work on a team that I was actually in client meetings and meeting people and flying around the country. And it made me realize I really wanted to work in something that I had a human connection in. So I moved over to the private bank where you work with high net worth families and individuals to really help them get invested in really all things to do with their money. And I worked there for 7-8 years. And then that brought me to Elevest. So I always knew who our CEO, Sally Krawcheck, was. The famous woman in finance. If you're a woman in finance, you know who Sally is. But when I started, when I looked at Elevest, it was a digital platform. It wasn't focused on what I did at all. And it was truly one of those random things that you go on a website one night and I see they want to hire a financial advisor. And it's like a Tuesday in July. And I'm like, sure, I'll try that. And next thing I know, I'm in the office meeting with our amazing chief investment officer, Sylvia, and Sally. And I'll never forget, Sally and I had breakfast in New York City and she asked me, do you want to work for a bank for the rest of your life or do you want to change the world? And then I quit and started at Elevest a little over 3 years ago.
That's great. In fact, one of the questions that I will ask you in a little bit is, how are you trying to change the world? So that's interesting that she said that. So essentially, who is Emily today in light of kind of the journey that you are on?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think that I reflect upon it that I think there's a purpose to everything you've done. And I came from a background of that my women traditionally were not investors. And I actually grew up and my grandparents were divorced before I was ever born. My grandma actually, she was legally blind, but she could like see enough to like read a newspaper and things. And she spent her days, she had a great alimony settlement and spent her days trading stocks. That's literally what she did with her time. It was her favorite thing. And that was like pretty unheard of in that day. Like her broker is still like talks to my family. Like that's what she did. Then when I grew up, my mom always managed the money and not just like the budget in that sense. And so I think that really brought me to full circle helping women. And so, I look at it as I've gone through the path of like learning traditional finance, going through here. And here I am now being able to actually do what I want, helping people align their money while still helping them to achieve their goals and working in that. So I've really found a place, I think, where I can truly do what I want. I like love my clients. They're all my friends in that sense. It totally changes your dynamic, I think, when you spend a lot of time talking about people's values and their missions and what they're actually trying to achieve in life rather than just a percentage return on someone's portfolio or trying to think about how they can be tax efficient or things like that, like actually trying to go to the crux of what they actually care about. And so I'm on the journey of every day I'd say is different. When I started at Elevest, I was the first person in private wealth. So truly like every 6 months of my life is completely different from the last 6 months of my life. And I look back and, now we're in a place where I run our private wealth business. I'm also an advisor. And it's just really exciting to see the change that is happening. And I think you know, while 2020 is a horrible year, it has also led to people thinking about a lot of things in terms of what impact they want to make. And so I think we really are, and it's allowed me to really reflect even on the impact that we're trying to make in the world, especially as we sit in a, what we call a she session, where women are disproportionately affected. So I probably work way more than I ever should, because, you know, it's more important than ever that we're helping women to get more money.
So you may have answered the question about how are you trying to change the world. So feel free to either expand on that or just assume that you've already answered it. Why don't you also give us an example or two of themes that investors are interested in today as they try to change the world?
Yeah. I mean, I think also when I think about how we're trying to change the world, I look back on my time when I worked at the bank, and we managed money for some of the richest people in the entire world. And I remember sitting there and thinking, and we had this amazing philanthropy group that would help you think about how to give, align your values. And then we'd have someone's $50 million foundation that we would invest in just a traditional portfolio. So here's all this conversation that we would have with someone about how to align your values with your money when you're giving it. But then you go ahead, you know, say you're trying to look at climate change. I would watch it and you're like, here you are in Exxon. And so it was just this completely did not work together. And it always really bothered me. And I always raised my hand saying this, but it's hard to change those big ships like that and to change traditional finance. And so for me, I think when I first started LFS, it really was looking at how to just get women invested. And we really have over time focused on not only how to get women invested, but how to get women invested into things that help other women. And not just like the, I have so many people who are like, I invest in impact. And I will tell you, I do this for family offices. We like look at their portfolio, what impact they are. And like, these are people who are famous for impact investing and their sites are all about impact investing. And then I look at their portfolio and I'm like, you just have a fund that all they do is look at if one woman is on the board, and then that's good enough. Apparently that's diversity. And apparently that's the only thing that affects women. And so, and, you know, that's only looking at the 1% of the 1% of women when we're thinking about that. That's not digging deeper into this at all. So when I really think about it, it's how can we invest all things that disproportionately affect women? And so we spend a lot of time thinking about that and what that means. And so looking at things like within the diversity of companies, okay, number one, all levels of diversity, employees, management, the board, all those things, but also like policies, like maternity leave, making sure that, you know, Sally, our CEO, just did a piece as we go into we're at the point where we're going into the election of if the president, whoever it may be, calls you on, whoever's elected, calls you on November 4th and says, what do you think we should do? She said, I would tell them to mandate paid leave, because that actually keeps women in the workforce and that changes things. And so how can we think about that? How can we think about climate change, which disproportionately affects women and people of color? How can we think about human rights? How can we think about gun control? How can we think about all these things that disproportionately affect women, not just this one single issue that's probably affecting, you know, okay, we look at the Fortune 500 companies, as long as 500 women in the country are good, then apparently it's okay. And so I think that's really where people are today. I think in 2020, people are more focused on everything than ever. Climate change, as we watch, you know, our forests burn down the West Coast and in Colorado, even this week, I think that people care more and more about that. They actually feel it. It's really happening. It is not, it used to be something that we would say our grandchildren would be affected by, but it is something we are being affected by today. It has really been sped up. I live in New York City and there's literally a time clock in Union Square that shows, it literally counts down the number of days, minutes, seconds until climate change is irreversible. It's like this ever, it's this huge sign in Union Square. And so thinking about that, racial justice is really something that people are focusing on today and how their portfolio affects that and actually kind of diving deep into that. And then I think, you know, again, just the gender side of it, as we look at this she session and women are disproportionately affected, and how are we making sure that we are helping all the population, not just a subsector within this. So, you know, I think people care more about money, values and such than ever, but also finding that connectiveness of that it's not just because you believe in one thing doesn't mean you need to do all these other things as well to change the world.
Yes, we have definitely noticed in our work that one of the challenges of impact investing, yet one of the extremely fun and positive things, is everybody has their passions, And so one person cares about the issue doesn't mean that the other issue they don't care about, it's just not where they're going to facilitate their capital, which makes it challenging as an advisor like yourself to have options that everybody can essentially invest in. So you clearly have a sense of the idea that capital has power. Do you have any stories, or when did you start to realize that for yourself?
So yes, we always say money is power, and not in the sense of, I mean, we live in a democratic society, so literally, but also it literally has the power for choices, I think is the biggest thing that we look at here. And in choices you're making in your life, there's just so many things that it has, the capital has the impact over here. And so for me, I think it really, especially coming to, I think there are a couple of things that made me think about this, kind of that story back to when I was at the bank and realizing, you know, that here are the richest people in the world and they're not investing with impact. And here they are talking about how impactful they are. And it was actually Bill Gates who very famously did this, or realized that in his foundation, he was giving to something that was cleaning water somewhere, while at the same time, his investments in the rest of his portfolio were going against that and polluting it. And so I think that's a very interesting story, but looking at all of that, but I really think it's this combination of things of, for me, that was very eye-opening, as well as really the fact that when I worked at the bank and when I came to Elvis, realizing like how many women just sit in cash. There's a whole, we could get into this all day, of like that they can't find an advisor who's actually speaks to them and, you know, all these types of things, but also the number of people and women, even men, frankly, that I talk to who say they go to their advisor and ask about impact. And these are people like major organizations with so like unlimited resources, basically. And their advisor is telling them, nope, you have to give up money to do that. That's ridiculous. You can't have that type of thing. And so it is just sitting in cash, and that affects women over time. And there's so many, just it affects your choices. You don't have as much money, you have to stay in a job you don't like, you have to do all these things. You know, there's just kind of this big effect. And I was actually listening to something recently, probably, I guess it was like the beginning of the pandemic, but time has flown by, thinking about if the Catholic Church moved all their money out of gambling, if the whole Catholic Church, that would make the cost of capital for these gambling organizations enormous. And it made me think, if all women, because a lot of women would be like, okay, whatever, I will invest with impact, but what does that impact actually mean for, like, I don't have that much money. What does that actually mean? But I always think if all women, which is 50% of the population, said, I'm not going to invest in companies or investments that do not support me, that would make the cost of capital for these companies enormous. These companies would not be able to exist if 50% of the population said, I do not want to invest in these places. And I think that is the most powerful thing, is that if we all come together and think about that, then we can really change things. Power in numbers. And just because you're one individual doesn't mean that you're not affecting change.
Well, I love to hear that perspective. It's a question I ask everybody. And so it's fascinating to hear the different lens from which you view that. So let me switch from the opposite of capital to this idea of stewardship. And you can insert any word that you want, but what does stewardship mean to you?
So as I think about it, I think that, you know, it's really important that we are all, number one, responsible human beings. And we're thinking about that is, I think it's talked a lot about in terms of the environment. Like that's kind of where we all, and frankly, that's where impact investing started. And so when I think about that, it makes sense. You know, that's kind of what people have first cared about, and kind of, you know, I would say the E of ESG is really where people have focused the majority of their time, the environment. But really thinking about how we can be ethical in how we look at our resources, and so especially our money. And so thinking about something in terms of, if I have $1 million to invest, how am I actually doing that? If I have $1 million to spend, how am I spending that? And not only how am I doing that, how am I sharing that with people that I am doing that? Because that is important, just to show people that you can do that. And so if I'm investing in affordable housing, it's a big theme, I think, for people in California, because they see the lack of affordable housing. But affordable housing just, you know, affects women, people of color, all these things. And so maybe it's, you know, I want a racial justice, so I invest in this. But sharing that story with people loud and proud that you're doing it and that these investments still doing what you needed to do if you were invested in this traditional investment, and talking about it and sharing it on your social and thinking about these different things, because that is what gets people to change, because the industry is not changing fast enough. And we're seeing this with what's going on in the world now. And so thinking about what your personal resources are, and whether it's someone like Sally who has a brand and she can use her personal brand to change the financial industry, she can do that. And, you know, whether it's that you have a lot of money and you can do that to influence people to also change that, you know, whatever it may be, using what you have as your personal resource in order to do that, I think is what's important. So I think that I always encourage people, before they think about that, reflect on actually what your personal mission statement is and values, because a lot of people kind of assume things or just take things from like what their parents had and such. But actually, when they kind of dive deeper into it, and I did this exercise with a family office, and she kind of written a 10-page exercise, like a investment plan about her policy statement. Then we went through this exercise, and it actually, there was so much deeper than she had ever written. She basically defined ESG, and then we went into it, and there was so much more to it. And so really figuring out what it matters to you, because that's what gets people to understand as well. Like telling your personal story, not just kind of like, oh, I care about, you know, ESG type of investing. And so I think the more that you can use that, the better.
So it's fascinating you use the story of affordable housing, because that was actually the catalyst for me that allowed me to frankly change my whole career over to impact investing, is when, and it's the story. So it's interesting, you know, my wife and I obviously invested in it, and there was a draw to it, but I would tell you it was over time, as we started to hear not only how the investment was performing, but then the stories behind it. And it's like, I mean, my wife, who cares about our money, she's not into investing in a big way, but there was a, she actually was interested to go to some of the updates. Why? Probably less about the return, but to hear some of these stories. And so, yeah. And then you just hear firsthand the impact of not only having capital go that way, but then in this case, having a management team who cares about people. It transforms people's lives.
Yeah, the storytelling is so important. And it's really seeing that. We started something where we every month choose an impact theme. We've done, September was gender, October was climate change. We were looking at human rights, gun control, all these different types of things. And it is, we kind of explain why it's so important, which is actually interesting as well, because it's, as much as gender diversity and climate change are very basic, it's not always understood like all the effects that those types of things have on the larger society. And actually, I'll tell this like quick anecdote. It was interesting. Our CEO, Sally, and I did a 3-day trip to a city to Birmingham, Alabama, very, very different than New York City. And we did probably 30 meetings over 3 days. It was just like 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. every single day around the cities. She did like 5 keynotes at things. And I will never forget, because it was a lot of, you know, traditional old white men coming, you know, in their suits, everyone's very proper. And number one, we hosted an event the same night Elizabeth Warren was there, and the tickets were free. Someone sponsored it. And it was a like 750 person auditorium, completely packed. You couldn't even come in. And it was all these people were like so amazed, number one, to see a woman. They'd never seen a woman who was so successful in her career. So I think that was just part of it as well. A lot of people reached out to us after to say like, those were interesting numbers, that diversity actually makes your company outperform. And I'm like, yeah, like McKinsey's had a report on this for like a long time. But looking at why it's important, not only for like, okay, that's like nice, but that actually matters to us as a whole society is really important as well. Like affordable housing matters to us as a society, not just for that person who lives in the affordable housing.
Yeah, and I could take this discussion, which I won't, down the political route, but even this discussion, I don't care which party line one falls in, I think this discussion is missed in all the political dialogue. And it's
yeah.
So anyways, the last question I have for you is, if you could make one dream come true for your life, what would it be? And just to take the pressure off, it doesn't have to be like the first, the most, because I hate those questions. But just If there's a dream that you could have come true, what would it be?
So I think about this, and what I've been working on for so long is really getting a kind of back to what I was talking about earlier. It's like getting all women invested in things that, number one, getting all women invested. That's the first part, because you'd be amazed at how many people think like rich people know what they're doing. They don't. They don't either. There's this, like, even in my office, the people who haven't worked with our private wealth team, we did some user testing and they were like, wow, they're the rich people. They're just like us. I'm like, yeah, they are. They're not different. But getting every woman to invest, whether that she has $100 million or a dollar, to do that, because that's going to be so important. And that is what's that as well, kind of going back again, that's going to help our society. If women have more money, it only helps our society. That goes back to our communities, to our children, to all these things. But for me, having every single person actually eventually move to a lens that they're investing with impact, because actually it's done better in 2020. So this is like one of those things. I'm like, I don't know, in the most data-driven industry that exists that shows that diversity like outperforms at these things, how this is not how every person invests today, but that's a longer story. But to move everyone to these investments that they actually sit and think about, not only how they invest, how they spend, how they give, all these different types of things, the companies that they're investing at. Okay, you can sit at one of these banks and think about, you know, they have, okay, you have a female advisor, but they have terrible policies for their women. They have forced arbitration for sexual harassment, all these different types of things. And just making people aware of all this, but really getting more money into the hands of women. And I think there's so many ways to do that, whether it be through every single woman having an investment account at some point in their life that she actually manages, to making sure that they're actually invested in their personal values. And hopefully everyone, not just women, everyone is invested with their personal values.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned this. And it's something I've thought about, I rarely talk about, but just go to financial education growing up. I mean, it's just non-existent today, regardless of gender, regardless of race, in school. And you're like, it's such an important piece. And yet that's not even talked about. So, look, I appreciate your insight and knowledge, and obviously your willingness to come on here and share. I could talk to you for another hour. Just even hearing your stories, you just talk about the importance of story. And I think your story has clearly resonated. And then just the fact that you're doing it day to day is awesome. Don't forget to subscribe to A New Lens with Common Good Capital on your podcast of app of choice. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. This will help our listeners find the show and hopefully put them on the path to a more fulfilling portfolio within the impact investing space. I'm Jeff Schaefer, and I will see you next time. Thanks again so much for joining us, Emily. This was great.
Thank you.
This podcast is a production of Common Good Capital and does not constitute an offer or a solicitation of an offer. Such offer would only be made through a private placement memorandum. Prospective investors in private placement securities should be aware that making an investment is speculative and involves a high degree of risk, including the risk of losing all or a portion of an investment. Investments of this nature are illiquid and subject to substantial restrictions upon transferability.